God, to say that you are great just doesn't seem like enough. It seems like there should be bigger words and more than we could say that would express our heart for how awed we are by you. We just give to you, God, everything that we are. You are so magnificent. You are so holy. You're so majestic. We never get tired of just telling you, great, just great are you, Lord. So great. Thank you, God, for giving us a place that we can come before your throne to worship you, for making it possible for us to enter in to the worship in the court of heaven. Thank you, God, for what you have made a reality for us to turn our attention and our words and our praise to you. May you be famous. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. You just hang out back there for a while. That'd be awesome. It's so good to see you. I'm glad for those of you that are here. That's great. For people who are joining us online, welcome to you as well. I'm just thrilled. I love the opportunity to get to stand and to talk with you. And so this is so exciting and a lot of fun for me. My name is Kim Wheeler. I'm the adult ministry director here at Christ Fellowship. And when Derek asked me if I would speak today, he said, feel free to just talk about whatever God is doing in your life right now. Talk about whatever he's saying to you. And so I've been, for the last, I don't know, several weeks, I've been kind of mulling over in my mind these two dreams that I had. And I had them a good while back, so they've just kind of been percolating there. And they were similar enough that they made me stand up and take notice of them. And as I pondered them, I kept thinking, there's got to be something here. Have you ever had a dream that did that? Like, you can't make a lot of sense out of it, but somehow or another, it won't leave you. So I'll tell you really quickly, these two dreams. In one dream that I had, Jason, my husband and I, we were going to renew our wedding vows. And we were at this location, and it was the day that it was supposed to happen. And I suddenly became aware of the fact that I had done nothing. Like, I hadn't booked a pastor. I didn't have a bouquet. I wondered if I had brought the right shoes. I knew I had a dress. I saw it laying across a chair, but I hadn't tried it on, so I even had this thought of, would it even fit? And I had all of these things that I had failed to do to get ready for this day. So that was one dream. Not very long, just a day or two later, I dreamed a second dream. And in this one, I was supposed to be in a wedding. It was a destination wedding, so I had met all these people in Greece. And I came to realize that I didn't know anything about what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't know when I was supposed to show up at the place. I didn't know where to go to get my hair fixed. I remember even asking somebody, do we wear our hair up or do we wear it down? I didn't know when we were supposed to eat. I had no details of this wedding. And so those two dreams were kind of going through my mind all the time, because here's what I felt about them. Even though I didn't know anything, I knew enough to know that in both dreams, I wasn't ready for something. And the fact that I wasn't ready really deeply troubled me. So I started praying about it, and I'm asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to know about this? And I got this sense that he said, be prepared. You just need to be prepared. And so I'm like, well, you know, okay, but what am I preparing for? I remember that even over the course of praying a little bit, I got kind of aggravated about it. I even said to the Lord one day, I don't know how I'm supposed to prepare if I don't know what I'm preparing for. But finally, it just settled in me that this was as much as I was going to get right now. So be prepared became it. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I tried to just let that ponder and sit in my spirit for a while. That's where I was when Derek said, just talk about whatever the Lord's teaching you right now. And I felt like, well, that's it. So you're dismissed. But not really. Because I wrote down in my journal, could be prepared be the thing that I'm supposed to talk about? And then I got a text message from a friend that I hadn't heard from in over 2 years. And she had seen on Instagram that I had posted just the word prepare on my Instagram story. And she sent me a message and she asked me about it. And so I told her kind of what was going on and what I was sensing. And she said, "That's crazy, because just last week, my mom said the exact same thing." She said that she feels like she's supposed to be preparing, but she doesn't know what she's preparing for. And I thought, that's not a coincidence. And maybe this is the thing that God is talking to some of us, maybe he's talking to all of us about right now, this whole idea of being prepared. And this is where I have come to kind of settle, is that I believe that just as important as what we're preparing for is how are we preparing. Both of those things are important. What is it we're preparing for, and how are we preparing? Last weekend, Jason and I were out of town. We went to the mountains and just spent some time away. We went to this really beautiful lodge up near Blacksburg, and it's a really popular venue for outdoor weddings. So over the course of the weekend while we were there, there was two weddings that were going to be happening. And one night, I was kind of like, I was prowling around, kind of trying to just to see what I could see. And I peered in the window of one of the really big buildings. And inside this room, they had set this gorgeous, really long, elegant table. It was so beautiful. It, you know, just place after place after place of this creamy china that had gold trim around the edge. It was this beautiful crystal glassware and all this flatware that was just like the whole room looked like it sparkled. It was just so elegant and so beautiful. And I stood there and I looked at it until Jason said, "You really need to get away from that window." But I just kept peering in. It was so pretty. Every place had a lettered place card with whoever was going to sit in that seat. It had their name written on it, and I was trying to read the names. It was just so gorgeous. And I went back to our room, and I'm, you know, still pondering in my mind about today. And as I was asking the Lord again about being prepared, this thought just went through my mind really, really fast. But it was, the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet table. It dawned on me that the kingdom of heaven is really what we're preparing for. That throughout the Gospels, Jesus tells so many parables that begin with, "The kingdom of heaven is like," because that's what we're preparing for. That's what it is that he wants us to know. And if you have been around here any amount of time, you've heard Derek talk about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You've heard about it probably if you've taken an equip class. But the kingdom of heaven is the rule and reign of God. Basically, it is any place that God has supremacy and is breaking through. The kingdom of heaven is there if the rule and reign of God is there. And for sure, when Jesus teaches us about it, when he talks about it throughout the Gospels, he's talking about the future kingdom, for sure. A kingdom where we're going to live in eternity with God and we're going to be with him forever. But like Jesus always is, when it comes to him, there's more. And so when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he wants us to understand that we live in this tension, because the kingdom of heaven is a place of the already and the not yet. The kingdom of heaven is a place of already and not yet. Because we know, right? We know that there is an ultimate kingdom coming that is not yet. It's the kingdom of God that is going to be for all eternity, where there will be no sickness, no pain. There will be no grief, no sorrow, no sin, no brokenness. And it will be that way forever. And that's the future kingdom, the one that is to come. But we also live in the already of the kingdom of heaven. Because realities of heaven are happening on earth right now. There are things that are happening on this earth that are just like heaven, and it's breaking through in lots of places. It's what Jesus prayed for. When he was in the garden and he said, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's asking for these heavenly realities to come to earth in the here and now. And so we experience this. Anytime that peace prevails in a moment, anytime that there is restoration in a broken relationship, anytime that healing comes, this is the kingdom of heaven breaking through, and we are living in pieces of the kingdom already. Many times, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, you know, the rule and reign of God, is at hand, which means it's available right now. And that is as true today as it ever has been, that the kingdom is available right here and right now. See, we are all invited, all of us, whether you're here, whether you're online, we are all invited to be part of the kingdom for all eternity. And we all have a part to play in bringing it to earth today. So you probably remember that our last sermon series was based on the idea, on the truth, that God and his kingdom are unshakable, right? In a time when it feels like everything else has been shaken, how do we anchor into this truth that he is unshakable? After everything that we have been through and everything that has been upended in the past few months, I have a sense, and I wonder if you do too, kind of just think on this, I have a sense that we've shifted gears a little bit. I have a sense that maybe we have shifted a bit from wondering if God was going to rescue us from 2020 into an idea that, okay, he is doing something and he is moving. Maybe we've shifted just a tiny bit. I believe that where we are right now, that we can agree that God is doing a new thing. How many times have we talked about that lately? How many times have we talked about that God is doing something different, he's doing a new thing, and that we want to know what it is? This is the glorious thing about God. This is what I think is so incredible, is that God is doing something new, but he wants us to be part of it. The truth for us today is God is calling us. And that sounds so simple and almost like a small statement, but it is loaded with impact when you consider the fact that the creator of the universe, who spoke everything into being, is moving on the earth. And he isn't wanting to just snap his fingers and do it. He's wanting to have relationship with every single one of us so that we can all do it together. Because he deeply desires that. He desires a relationship so that we can move forward with him. And here's what I believe about God and what I hope to believe about myself. He's excited about what's happening. Derek mentioned last week that God hasn't resorted to plan B because there is no plan B. We are on track of doing the exact things that God has planned for us to do since time began. He hasn't had to wring his hands because of 2020 and say, wait a minute, what are we going to do now? He is on the throne, he is moving, he is working, and he's excited. And he cannot wait for the things that are unfolding. He can't wait for the things that are coming, and he cannot wait to join forces with each one of us to see heaven come to earth. And he's calling us to see him, to hear him, and to join him. Every single one of us. So maybe our question changes from, when will we get back to normal? How many of us have asked that one? Maybe our question changes from, when will we get back to normal, to, how do we prepare and be part of what God's doing? One of the ways that we can prepare, I believe wholly, the one of the ways that we have to begin is to know our position. We have to know our position, because part of being prepared for whatever is going to be next is knowing who we are in Christ and what we've been given. One of my favorite pieces of scripture in the whole Bible is from 2 Peter 1:3. And I want to read it to you, and I hope that you begin to love it as much as I do. This is my favorite thing. Listen to 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Can we just take a minute and let that sink in? His divine power. Not our effort, not our best attempts, not our good deeds or our good behavior, none of that, but His divine power has given us everything. Can we think of something that doesn't fall in the category of everything? He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Simply put, we are equipped. And our only responsibility is to know it. And I don't mean our responsibility is to know it like in our head, because you know it because I just told you, so you know. But our responsibility is to know it experientially, to live in it, and to walk in it. Because what God is calling us to is secondary to the posture of our position. We've got to be firmly planted in who we are in Christ. So whatever we are preparing for, whatever is next, when we agree with what God has said, then we have all of the power of heaven behind us. As you sit here right now, you already have everything that you need for life and godliness. That just makes me want to cry a little bit. That makes me teary, because He's provided us with everything. He's given us all we need. Before you ever did anything, He equipped you with everything. How amazing is that? Before you did anything, He equipped you with everything. I don't know that I've ever spoken, I started to say on a Sunday, maybe anywhere, that I haven't told a story about Creed, my son. Creed is a great source for helping you understand the realities of God. He's awesome in every way, and nobody believes that more than he does. Like, he's certain. So when Creed was in the fifth grade, one of his assignments was his teacher gave all of them this piece of paper, and she said, write a letter to yourself when you are a senior. Can you imagine being in the fifth grade and trying to imagine what life is going to be like when you're in the 12th grade? But that was his assignment. And then after he wrote his letter to himself, he gave it to the teacher, who gave it to the high school guidance counselors, and they kept them for all of those years until these kids became seniors. So on Creed's letter, he wrote on the outside of the envelope, this letter is to Creed Wheeler, from Creed Wheeler, Creed Wheeler, you are awesome. He got that letter from his guidance counselor on the day that they canceled graduation of his senior year. In April, when he realized that there wasn't going to be a graduation ceremony, there wasn't going to be the hoopla of ending the senior year, he got an envelope that was written years before that on the outside said, Creed Wheeler, you are awesome. And I don't believe that when he wrote that letter, he had any clue how much he would need to know that he was awesome in the spring of 2020. And it is exactly what God has done for us. He wrote each one of us a letter when he created us, before we were ever on this earth, when he created who we would become, he wrote us a letter, and if we could read it right now, it would say, you are awesome, because he made you that way, fully equipped. And actually, make yourself a note that he did write you that letter, and you can read it in Ephesians 2:10, because that's where he says that you are his masterpiece. You are equipped right now if you choose, just choose, to know your position. I want to look at the way that Jesus highlights this truth in a parable. So if you've got a Bible, flip over to Matthew 22. The parable itself is longer. We're going to just talk through the first little bit, and then I'll read some to you. But Matthew 22, starting at the very beginning, is a parable. And I love the fact that some translations say the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet. That fits so well with where my mind has been lately. But the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, it says. Some of them say like a wedding banquet. And here's the synopsis of the story before we get to what we're going to read together. In the first 8 verses, the king in this parable has told his servants to go and invite people to a wedding banquet for his son. And the servants go out and they invite the people and they tell them what the king has said. And for whatever reason, a variety of different ones, the people refuse to come. And they have a lot of excuses, and some of them flat out say no. Some of them resort to actually inflicting bodily harm onto the servants, but they give a forceful no that they aren't coming to the banquet. So the servants return to the king. They tell him what has happened. And then let's pick up and read, starting in verse 9. In verse 9, the king says to the servants, "Go then to where the roads exit the city and invite everyone you find to the banquet." So the servants went out on the roads and they gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. The wedding banquet was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who was not dressed for a wedding. So the king said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him up hand and foot, throw him in the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Enjoy the story for the day. You know, that seems incredibly harsh, doesn't it? Like that the man would be thrown out and condemned for the fact that he's not wearing the right clothes. But one detail that we can understand about this makes all the difference in the story, because in the culture that Jesus was speaking to, it was commonplace that if a king, if a nobleman invited you to a wedding, then he would provide you with the clothes to wear. He would give you exactly what he wanted you to put on. So to refuse to wear the clothes was an insult to the highest degree to the king. And it wasn't just a snubbing of who he was. It was actually a rejection of his position. And it was a flat out disregard for his authority. The man didn't just make a mistake or overlook a detail. He had actually made a deliberate choice to dishonor the king. So likewise, in the same vein, we've been invited to God's table, to his kingdom table, to be part of what he's doing. First, we've been invited there for salvation, that we can come and have a relationship with him that will save our soul. And secondly, we've been inviting there into an ongoing experience of bringing heaven to earth. And he's given us everything we need to join him. So it's our choice at this point what we're going to do with this provision. You know, we get to decide. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He has invited us. So what will we do? Will we disregard it? Will we, in some cases, try to add to it, like we need to do something more? Or will we just believe it, receive it, and put it on? Because agreeing with our position prepares us to be ready for whatever God wants to do. Agreeing with our position. Okay, so we got to know our position. The second thing we can do to prepare is to pursue God. Pursue God might sound like a little bit of a strange way to say this, and pursuing him actually has some different looks to it. One of the ways that we pursue God is that we ask him. We talk to him. We go to him. Actually, to pursue God, we request things from him. Somewhere along the line, I don't know when this happened, but somewhere in the course of history, I think that many of us have developed a faulty belief about God. We've come to think somehow maybe that because he's omniscient, that we don't need to ask him for anything. And maybe we might have formed that thought out of some misplaced honor. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe we formed that thought like, he's God and I don't want to bother him with the things I need. It's still not the right attitude. Maybe we've come to this place because we have an attitude of entitlement. I mean, if we're being really honest, sometimes maybe we have the thought that says, he knows what I need. He's God. He knows everything. So I shouldn't have to ask. Or maybe we've developed this out of a sense of self-protection, where we've had this idea flow through our mind of, what if I ask him for something and it doesn't turn out the way that I'm hoping? And then I might have a faith crisis, and I don't really want to deal with that. The thing is that whatever the reason, not asking really isn't an option. And James 4:2 is pretty straightforward. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Asking isn't about telling God something he already knows. It's about honoring him as the source of all that we receive. We will never come up with something to tell him that he didn't know. But we can honor him for everything that he's given. Asking God for something, asking him for things, asking him for provision, asking him for revelation, all of the things that we can ask for really is just creating a conversation with our Maker and talking to him about the desires of our heart, because it's through conversation with him that our will and our desire starts to align with his will and desire. And through that conversation, he speaks to us and we begin to understand the perspective of heaven. And when we talk to him and we have a conversation and we understand the perspective of heaven and we've had revelation on what's coming, then we can ask with the attitude of heaven. And God cannot help but answer those prayers. In John 14:14, he tells us, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's a promise that we can anchor into. But we need to be asking. And we need to understand that he loves that. He loves the conversation. Another facet of pursuing him is to go after something, to go after him. I don't know a better way to say that. It means to go after God, to pursue him. It means to actively seek him. And I mean actively seek him, not because he's elusive, not because he camouflages himself, but because when we actively go after him, when we seek him, somehow it is that we show him that he is the most important thing in our life. It gives him a place of priority that we are looking for him wherever we go. I'm convinced, I am positive that he loves this. I think he is thrilled when we go after him because he talks about it in his word, not like it's an option. Just like James said, you don't have because you don't ask. God said, you will seek me. There's several times in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah where he starts a phrase that way, you will seek me, and then he gives the rest of the sentence. But it always ends with, and you will find me. One place is in Jeremiah 29. Now, we love Jeremiah 29:11, right? Everybody loves that verse that says that I will give you what you want. I have good plans for you. I have plans to prosper you. I'm not going to harm you. We love Jeremiah 29:11, and it is an awesome promise. But look on past 11 at 12 and 13. And God says, then, after he's made the promise, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I love that he says, you will seek me. Not if you seek me. Not you might seek me at some point. But he says, you will. So he expects us to go after him and to pursue him. Last year, one of the most fun things of my life, last year, 2019, I had a friend who said to me, I'm going to spend this year chasing Jesus. Do you want to come? And I was like, are you kidding me? Absolutely. And so we did just that. I think that when we started in January, we didn't know what chasing Jesus really even meant. All we knew at that point was we just wanted more of him. And so we started this chasing Jesus idea. We went to conferences. We read books. We went to church services. We went all over the place. We did all sorts of things. The basic idea of it was anywhere that we thought that we could encounter Jesus, we went there. If we thought that he would be in a book, we read that book. We did anything that we thought would give us an experience of Jesus. And you know what we learned? This isn't going to sound incredibly profound, but it is. This is what we learned. You can encounter Jesus anywhere. In churches with 10 people, or in stadiums with tens of thousands. You can encounter him right here in this room. You can also encounter him in a little tiny room tucked away upstairs. Pursuing God doesn't position us to catch a God who's running the other way. It prepares us to encounter the God who is right in front of us. And that's what makes pursuit so good and so sweet. We just have to know our position. We just have to pursue him. And the last thing that we can do today to be prepared is to live in expectation. And I hope all of these things. I hope you leave today and you know your position. I hope you leave today with an intense desire to pursue God and meet him everywhere. But I hope above all of it, that if you walk away with one thing, that today you walk away living in expectation. Because he's a good, good God. And we can expect to see the reality of that again and again and again. Because expectation doesn't just require awareness, it demands it. Expectation means that we have to have a heightened sense of awareness, because this is true. This is true. Answers are coming. If we are in a place right now and you feel like the weight of this world is just on you, can I just encourage you to look up, because answers are coming. Instructions are coming. Breakthrough is coming. God has so not forgotten about us. He is moving, he is active, he is working, and it is on its way. Our attention needs to be 100% tuned to the frequency of heaven. We need to live with so much expectation that we believe, that we know, that we're going to see him everywhere we look. And we got to live in a place where we get our gaze off of the ground, off of our own belly buttons, and up, so that we can see what he's doing. And expectation just keeps us laser focused. I'll tell you something funny. This is what came to me as I was thinking about it. And this is so not holy or spiritual, but this is the way that it works, I do believe. A few years ago, Jason and I went out of town for our anniversary, and we made a reservation to eat at this super swanky restaurant. We had some friends who had been there before. They had already experienced us, and they told us how great it was going to be. It was like nothing we had ever experienced. The food was going to be exceptional. We had looked at the website. The atmosphere was incredible. It was a nice place, and we were going to have an experience like we never had before. So we had this reservation at 6:30. And around 4 o'clock, Jason says, I'm hungry. We should stop at Bojangles. Understand that I have nothing against Bojangles. But I was not in that moment willing to ruin my fine dining experience that I was expecting because I ate a Boberry biscuit. You know, when you are living in expectation of something, then we get so invested in that we will not settle for a cheap substitute. we get so invested that we start to say no to something good just so we have space for something that is going to be beyond better. And I'm telling you in a way that I mean with all of the sincerity and compassion in my heart, God is asking us to say no to some things. He's asking us to lay down some stuff that in and of itself is not bad. They're not bad. But they're not letting us put our focus 100% on Him. So what is He calling us to lay down because we're living in expectation of something else? It means that we've got to be proactive and get rid of some of these distractions. And I think that when we live in expectation, that we look at every decision, every word, every action in light of receiving that expectation. If you were here last week, Gina did the opening, and what she said was, I'm in a place where I'm starting to believe that nothing is casual. I think she's right. I think that what God is waiting to pour out on this earth that He so desires us to be a part of is so great that we've got to be solely focused on it. We got to be thinking about it all the time. And we can't be willing to settle for anything else. That's a lot of words. It's a whole lot of words just to say, let's be prepared. Let's know our position. Let's pursue God. Let's live in expectation. I think that Peter might have said it even better than I did in a more succinct way. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 17, and I want us to read it as we close up today, but I hope you'll revisit it this week. Because these are the words of Peter. He says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all of your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet table. We're all invited, and each of us have our own seat with a place card. We have everything that we need already provided. And if there's something that we desire, all we have to do is ask. And we live in expectation. Nobody gets up from the banquet table before the food is served. So we live in the expectation because He is calling us. Today maybe God is calling you to salvation for the very first time. Maybe you have said, I know who Jesus is, but I haven't made that step to be in relationship with Him. This is your day. This is your day to accept Him, to accept the fact that He died, to take away your old self and give you the clothing of a new self. That is Him, that you just step into righteousness. And I'd like us to take a minute and let's pray right now. If you are in this room, if you're listening and you're online and you want to accept Jesus, let's take a moment and pray. Father God, we just thank You for the invitation for a seat at the table. An invitation for all eternity to be seated with You. And for anyone today, for anyone, that invitation is open to say, I give up my former self and my old way of living to receive everything that Jesus died to give me as the only Son of God, the only one who could pay the full debt, the only one who has ever been resurrected by the Spirit to live forever in eternity because of His being the Son of God. And we can believe that once we pray that prayer, Father God, that the Holy Spirit takes residence in our heart and we become a new creation. We thank you and we praise you for that. Maybe today there's an invitation, like we talked about last week, for you, me, to step into a new level of glory. A place where you get to exchange the way you've been thinking for a new way of thinking. Maybe it's the invitation today to do just what I said. I want this for me. An invitation to lift our heads up. To not let the weight of the world and the weight of this year bog us down, but to walk in the expectation that God is moving us to a new thing. And so God, we pray for that, for any of us, for each of us who you are calling to a place of repentance, which just means to change our mind. Will you right now speak to the place where our thinking has been faulty and show us the right way to believe? Thank you for giving us the ability to hold our heads up and look to you, to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that comes through the Holy Spirit. And we praise you for that today as well. And lastly, all of us are called to join God in the new thing that he's doing. All of us are called to that. And whatever it looks like for each one of us, can we just open our hands and say that we receive the new thing and we want to be a part of it? And so to close out today, I pray, God, I pray that you will make each of us willing, that you would make each of us conduits of heaven, who just bring the realities of heaven that you're pouring out, that we bring them onto earth through our words and through our actions, through our encounters with other people. God, we thank you because you have already equipped us with everything we need for life and godliness. Now, Father God, will you just be that sweet voice that reminds us every day we have what we need and we can bring heaven to earth. We praise you, Jesus. We receive what you want us to have, and we make your name famous. Amen. Amen. I pray that you have an awesome day, that it is beautiful, and that you get to enjoy all the realities of heaven. Be blessed.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hopefully, each of you are also walking away with this incredible invitation to live in expectation, not just of what God is going to do, what God has invited us into, but what he is doing today and what he will be doing throughout your week. Thank you so much again for joining us. We invite you to also join us throughout the week on social media. Have a blessed day and week ahead.